Well, of course. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for taking care of us and keeping us healthy through your Holy Communion and your Word. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and always here to guide us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for this. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so we know we can operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to when we look into your word and receive revelation by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. One thing about faith is it sees the answer. It sees the outcome. You may not physically see it, but inside, you know, you can see it. One thing, man, I got in a lot of trouble when I was a kid. I was a daydreamer. Man, it was bad. I mean, I don't know how many times I got drug out in the hallway and aired out because I'd be daydreaming. Well, you know, when you grow up and you get into the Bible, you're required to do some daydreaming. You know, you should stop and think about what you want. We're not here to just coast through. See, we need to think about what we want, what we want the end results to be like. Dream about how you're going to get there. Not many people do that. They get caught up in the rat race. Going to work, I want to live long enough to retire, see my grandkids grow up, have my bills paid off, and go. There's so much more to life. There's so much more to life than that. You know, some people call it living on the edge, but it's living by faith and enjoying the ride a little bit. There's a lot of people I grew up with that are bald-headed, if they have any hair left. They're having heart attacks. They're gray-headed. They're wore out. And they haven't worked as hard as I have. They became successful, career-minded people. And it stressed their whole world out. But they did exactly what they were taught in school. Go to college, get married, have two or three kids, take out a huge loan on a house, pay on that till you're 75, have a couple cars to make payments on, and toys to make payments on, and then somehow send your kids to college. That's the American dream, ain't it? No. That's being a debtor to somebody that doesn't care about you. Amen? There's a lot of people that love God that have fallen into this American dream, but they can't do nothing about their love for God because they're tied down to mortgage, debt, payments, and work. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? That's the way it is, and they won't leave it. One thing that we need to do is to ask God what He wants us to do. That's a good place to start. Ask God what He wants us to do. I've told people, ask God where He wants you to go to church. a lot of people come and they say, I'm moving to this other town because there's so much opportunity there. And I say, where are you going to church? Well, I don't know. Oh. So how are you going to be spiritually plugged in? You know, I tried that. I decided, you know, things just weren't the way they needed to be. So I asked God where he wanted me to go to church. And he told me exactly where he wanted me to go to church. I said, okay. So we've been married for about 3 months, and the little woman comes home from work, and I said, pack your stuff, hon, we're moving to Wyoming. Are you crazy? Why? I said, well, because that's where we're supposed to go to church. You're nuts. Well, it all ended up back home for her. Now, probably if we had just stayed there, we'd still be in Midland. But ask God what he wants you to do. One thing about seeing the answer is by continually looking at the word, you'll see the answer. You'll see your answer. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Notice that the scripture there says, let my words not depart from your eyes. See, many people fail because they see themselves as failing. This is where the daydreaming comes in. You find a promise of God, you need to visualize what that promise would look like in your life, if it materialized in your life. One time, I read an account of this evangelist on the street, and this evangelist told this blind woman to tell me what she sees. She said, I can't see. She said, I didn't ask you if you could see. I told you to tell me what you see. She said, I can't see. She said, I didn't ask you if you could see. I said, to tell me what you see. And then finally she caught it. She said, oh, I see myself seeing. And she got her sight. Yeah. See, you can, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're exactly right. If you think you can do it, you can do it. If you can believe it in your heart, if you can conceive it in your mind and believe it in your heart, you can do it. The problem is we buy into what the world says. There's a lot of false information out there. False information says, you know, you're not the right color, you can't do this. You're not built right for this, so you can't do that. You didn't come from this certain background, so you can't do that. You know, you can do whatever it is you set your will to do. Charles Sampson, I don't know if any of you ever even heard of this guy. He was from L.A. And he was black. And he decided he wanted to be a bull rider. So that's what he did. He set out to be a bull rider. And then one day, he woke up and he was the world's champion bull rider. And he was teaching other people how to be bull riders. And he said, the only time you fail is when you fail to try. See, that's where a lot of people run into trouble. They hear the word of faith, they get it in their heart, and then they step out to do it, And they say, what if I fail? And then they don't even try. What if I make a mistake? And they don't even go. It's particularly prevalent in witnessing. People, a lot of times, will not witness to other people because they're afraid they're going to be rejected. You're not going to be rejected. If they reject anything, they reject Jesus, not you. But people's pride gets in the way, and it stops them from having a lot of fun in the kingdom of God. God's word says that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So if that word does not depart from our eyes, we're bound to see ourselves without sickness and without disease. You know, it's hard when you're sick and you don't feel good. It's hard to sit there and visualize yourself as being whole and well, especially when the pain, I mean, if you have severe pain in your body, it's hard to imagine that because you concentrate on what you have. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. See, Jesus told us we can have what we say. And for some reason, half of the church world or more they're around calling people that follow that teaching, you're one of those name it and claim it peoples. Oh, we're staying away from you. You're one of those name it and claim it guys. Well, there's no doubt that some people did some crazy, foolish stuff in the word of, in the name of name it and claim it. But you're not born again if you're not a name it and claim it. I mean, you got to get honest with yourself on some of this stuff. But Jesus said, whatsoever he saith. Sometimes we just got to have these fights, you know, and the pain may be really persistent, but we still got to fight it out. Amen. Sometimes people will have to go to a doctor and get help and believe that the doctor is going to help them with this. And that's not a shameful thing. Sometimes people browbeat themselves. They think, well, my faith is broken because I didn't get... No, your faith is not broken. It takes practice. It takes practice. I know Kenneth Hagin, his wife sat under the Word of Faith teaching for I don't know how many years, lived with the man, heard him talk about the Word of Faith constantly, and she got sick and he come flying home and he was getting ready to do the prayer of faith on her, and God stopped him and said, don't do that, she's not there. Now, she sat under the Word of Faith teaching for that many years, and she wasn't ready for that. Don't browbeat yourself if sometimes you have a struggle in an area. We all do. We all do. There is a fight sometimes. But we win. God will figure out a way to get us across the finish line. Amen? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. One thing about faith is it contradicts circumstances. Circumstances are these things that we might call facts. You know, it may be a scientific fact that you're sick. It may be a scientific fact that you don't have any money in the bank account. It may be a scientific fact that your relationship with whoever may be destroyed. But God has a whole different system that He operates by. He told us to live by faith. One thing that He did say, He said, in, here in Hebrews 13, verse 5, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, Joseph, he got a coat of many colors from his dad. You might say he was his dad's favorite kid. And his brothers got jealous of him, and they came up with a horrible plot for him. And it ended up, Joseph ended up being sold into slavery. And he was in a prison. That was bad enough. In a foreign land, where he didn't know anybody. And he didn't get one phone call. But Joseph considered himself a successful man because God was with him. And here's a man that was completely destitute, lost all his physical belongings, lost his family, lost everything, lost all familiarity in prison. And you'd say that guy could have an opportunity to get depressed. But he considered himself a successful man because God was with him. He got a hold of this idea that God was never going to leave him. I read maybe the most fantastic thing one time about a Jewish man that was, he was a Holocaust survivor. He was in a camp. You know, those guys didn't have a good existence at all. Death was always just a breath away. They asked him, how did you survive? And he said, you know, they took everything away from me except for the one thing. That there was one thing they could not take away from me. They couldn't take it. And it kept me alive. And they said, what's that? That was my attitude. He had this attitude that he was going to live, regardless of what they did to him. And he lived. You see, people have this attitude that they're going to succeed, that they're going to be well, that they're going to be successful, that things are going to go well for them. And guess what? Things go well for them. They succeed. The devil throws hell at them, and they still succeed. And then you see people that have all the talent, all the capability, and they can't see themselves succeeding, and they fail miserably. I worked with a guy one time that would not make a decision. He would not make a decision. And I said, dude, all you got to do is just go punch a button. He said, I'm not going to. I see you catch stuff on fire. I'm not going to do that. And I said, we got permission to. He said, I can't. He said, I can't make a mistake. I said, then you're making a mistake by not trying. He said, I can't do it. And he talked himself out of that job and went to a lower paying deal. The boss came up to me and he said, the guy talked him out of quitting. I wasn't going to fire him. He did. He kept talking himself into being gone, and he talked himself right out the door. But that's the guy had no vision for his life. He was just coasting. When a man loses his ability to dream, he'll lose his direction in life. It's important to daydream once in a while. Think about possibilities. No matter how far-fetched they are, think about them. So let's quit saying the wrong things and start saying the right thing. Say that the Lord is our helper. Say that the Lord is our healer. Say that the Lord took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Keep talking about the right thing. Keep believing the right thing. I had this discussion the other day. There were people just bombarding the air with negative stuff. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, the devil's just got this thing. They were even throwing prophecies and stuff at me and talking about stuff in the book of Revelation. I said, guys, stop. It takes the same amount of energy to believe for something good as it does for something bad. I'll tell you something dangerous. You think negative, bad. You think negative long enough, that opens portals for the devil to work in your life, and then you will get the negative answer. And that's not a good thing. Get some positive thinking in there, some positive believing, right believing. You know, believe what the Bible says. Think about what the Bible says for you. One thing about faith is it says the answer. Real faith in the Word says that if God says it is so, then it is so. If He says that by His stripes we were healed, then we were healed. If He says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ, then that's what He's going to do. Too many times we see something going on and we start thinking lack instead of abundance. We live in a time right now where the nation, the world is losing its identity because they've been conned into believing that this coronavirus is going to wipe out the earth if you don't wear a mask. They told us, wear it for a couple weeks. And we're a year into this thing, and now they're talking about maybe you should wear two masks and goggles. Maybe you should learn about communion or something like that. Maybe you should read the Constitution. Maybe you should grow a spine. America has lost its spine. It's a shame. They have no vision other than what they've been told. They've been told a vision. They don't have a vision from the Bible. They don't have a vision of freedom. Somebody from Alpine called me, said we don't know who to ask or what to do about having National Day of Prayer at the courthouse. And said, well, you don't ask anybody. You just go down there and do it. He said, we can do that? And I said, yes! It wouldn't have been so irritating if I hadn't already had this conversation with somebody else about that. But they were mad at me one day on National Day of Prayer. They came up here and said, why don't you go down to Alpine and do something about that so we can have National Day of Prayer down there? And I said, why don't you tell your gutless pastor to go down there and do something about that? She looked at me like, what? I said, no, I did my job in my town. Now you go do yours. And then they didn't for another 2 or 3 years. But you should have a vision of freedom. You should have a vision of what this world should be like. What this world could be like. You know, if the church would get in agreement, this place could be a living promised land. This place could, the people in this town could be blessed beyond measure. You can't get control of their tongue. They run around calling this place a desert all the time. They run around saying, well, it never rains here. So this is a desert. We should expect dry years. You know, have a couple rainy years and then 10 years of dry. No. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere. But they'll fight you over the right to call this a desert. That's shameful. This place could be a bountiful land. But people see thorns and briars and rocks and blowing dirt. Right there. They don't see it flowing with grass, creeks running, streams running, flowers blooming. That's what we need to see. Need to daydream about that. Walk around saying, my God causes me to lie down in green pastures. Rest beside the still waters. How hard is that? Need to think about these things sometimes. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. See, because Jesus is our high priest and sits at the right hand of God in heaven making intercession for us, we can have the answers to our petitions right now. You know, when you look up the Greek word here for profession, it literally means to hold fast to saying the same things. I mean, you know, you wake up, you don't have two pennies to rub together. You're rich. You're rich. That happened at the cross. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. You walk around and you meditate on that. And you think about what it would be like having that supply of finances coming in. You know, do you know that there is such thing as mystery money? There's money in finances that you have no idea about. You know, you can just stop and ask God, say, I've scratched my head about this a lot, and say, God, I need some creative finances. And somebody will call me on the phone. Somebody I never even thought about. Only met. They'd say, hey, can you come over and do this job? Or somebody will pull me out to the side, say, I got some cash I want to unload on you. and serious. Sometimes it's a pretty lofty amount. But here's the thing. I didn't put forth the effort to make that happen. I asked God for it, and I said, this need is met at the cross. I don't know where it's going to come from other than that. And it happens. But see, if we just keep looking at the lack, we're going to miss the abundance. Look to the abundance, and you'll skip out on the lack. Amen? The same thing with healing. Look at the healer, you'll get the healing. Let my words not depart from your eyes. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. All too often we hear the word, we're all guilty of it in some area. I mean, sometimes we get pretty cagey in certain areas. And then there's another area that we just blow it. Let's face it. There's times that there's just things we just blow it terrible. We miss the boat. But don't look at your failure. Look to Jesus. He said, you know, one thing God said, he said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. He's not going to remember them. See, well, okay, go on, keep going. Don't just hit park. Don't sit there and pout. Just keep going, go on to the next thing. Amen? You'll get better in that area. Eventually. But what we need to do is see ourselves with the answer. See what it would be like. Visualize yourself not blowing your top. Visualize yourself not being broke. Visualize yourself not being sick. Visualize yourself not being lonely. Find your promise in the Bible and visualize yourself, daydream. Daydream about yourself with the answer. But get creative with it. What would you do if you had your promise answered? What would it be like? Where would you go? What would change? What new thing would you try? What do you want your answer to look like? Be specific. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus does for us. Everything that he's already done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And as our high priest, who's always right there to make our prayers perfect. He takes the feathers off our prayers. Takes the flesh off our prayers. Presents them to you as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.